Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jim, and JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to Footy Prime News and Dubs, your one-stop destination for footy news and dubs. Yeah, that's Amy Walsh. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Yeah. It's Footy Prime, the podcast, and it's Thursday. This is still kind of messed up with our scheduling this week and last week, but I'm sure it's back to normal next week, we think. But regardless, it's Thursday. It's just kind of news and dubs on a Thursday, which is fun. Dubs is here. Craig's here. JC is here. Wong is in Dominican right now. Even though he said that he wouldn't be contacting us, he was pretty active last night on the dark web, wasn't he?
He was.
It can't be going that great for him, can it, right now?
this is the last text. This is it. Last one.
The okay. Best is there was like the one classic vacation shot.
Yeah.
Where, Charms, you had a great line, right? About the Asian Cup.
Oh, the Asian Cup.
Water's here. It's great. You're like, there's the Asian Cup. And then the next one was not quite as exciting run of weather he's about to get where he is. It's like,
yeah.
I could do with like another vacation photo instead of like a weather update, but okay.
Yeah, I could do that myself. Oh, it's going to be hot, is it, in Dominican? Oh, okay, yeah. Good to know.
Big surprise.
Yeah, lots out there, Wonger. Jesus Christ. Jimmy's not here yet, which must surprise the entire audience. Whether he shows up or not, we're going to find out at some point over the next 45 minutes. It's a shame because we had big plans to talk about the darts to start the show. Craig can help out a little bit.
Yes, what a shame.
You missed a great and compelling storyline, Dubs. In the World Darts Championship final, Luke Humphreys beats 16-year-old Luke Littler.
Because he was a little littler.
Yeah, he wasn't that little though, was he? For a 16-year-old.
No.
Looks like he's 30. Still.
He really does.
16.
Narc.
I was still in diapers at 16. Like, really, I was.
I believe you.
Yeah. But what a story, though. I mean, it's something else. 16 years of age. There's actually someone did a comparison because James Milner, who played great for Brighton this past week in the 0-0 against West Ham, was 16 when he made his debut with Leeds. I remember that as well. Many, 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 many years ago now. But yeah, it was amazing. And there was this great debate on Sky Sports where it was, in the end, agreed, Craig, that darts is now the number two sport behind football in UK. Like, it's literally like the most talked about. The viewership is very comparable to the Premier League. It is taken over from everything else. It's amazing.
Well, I tell you what, they got lightning in a bottle because the actual events themselves with the crowd, the fancy dress, I mean, it's the only thing they're talking to a fan after. He's got like a baby Herman thing going on his head, and he's talking about darts, and it's like the only sport in the world where you would, well, sport. I mean, that's kind of
thank
a loose.
Thank you for we it. Can talk thank about that. You. The argument's flawed. Not a sport.
Why isn't it a sport?
It's a pastime.
No, it's not. This guy made a shitload of money. It's not a pastime. How's it a pastime?
So it's defined by the amount of money that's available to you?
Well, not just that. Does it take a physical skill to be successful at it?
Yeah, this ain't quilting.
Yes, but it's a very specific skill.
Yeah, like kicking a football.
I'm not saying it's unskilled. It's admirable what they're able to do. I wish he said barbecue sauce as he shot the dart, though.
Barbecue sauce?
Yeah, Ted Lasso. Barbecue sauce.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
As he hits the winning shot, end of season one.
Did he really? I
against
can't remember
Rupert.
That. Really? Barbecue okay, sauce. I don't remember even the darts part, but that's I'll watch it again. But I'm just how do you define a sport? Because I mean, I've had this debate. I'm obviously a big snooker fan, which is clearly a sport, but other people don't agree with that. How do you define what a sport is and what a sport isn't? Oh, narrow-minded dubs.
Well, I don't know if I'm narrow-minded. I think it's actually looking at it with a broad perspective, comparing a pastime to a sport. I think if you took the average person off the street, could they compete and beat him in darts? Probably not. But would they be more likely to hang in a darts match than somebody getting thrown on a football pitch? Yes. That's not my definition. That's just what I've come up with at 8 a.m. on a Thursday. But I think it's the same argument you can make for, say, golf.
Yeah.
So they it's become more... Sport, no, either. Listen, no. I'm not saying it's not a sport, but I'm saying there's the argument to be made that it's more of a pastime than a sport.
But it can still be a sport. One can be more sporty than other ones, but it's still a sport. Can you not? Mm-hmm. This level of sport, you got three levels of sport, right? You got the top level, number three. I'm a three sport sporter. You got football. You got your rugby, your hockey, you know, where you got to be physically incredible specimen as well. I get that. But there's got to be different levels. Maybe darts is a level one sport, but it's still a sport.
Okay. What if you include the garb or the apparel worn? Does that help with the definition?
Well, dart shirts are amazing.
He gets a kebab after he wins. I think that makes it more of a pastime than a sport.
That's tough to argue. I think you hate fat white guys.
Not wrong. No, come on. Of course I don't.
You like me.
You're not a fat white guy.
But Craig, what's your thought?
Well, give you that. I mean, I've been following this kid right through because he was the youngest player ever to win a game, and then he just kept going through and rolling through everybody to be actually going into the final as a favorite. Mm-hmm. Four sets to two up, first to seven sets, and then the other guy, Humphreys, came on. He was a likable guy, too, to be fair.
Yeah, he's got a good backstory, hasn't he? He's gone through a lot of anxiety, depression. At one point, quit the sport. And now he's without doubt the number one darts player in the world. I love this freaking topic right now. I'm so happy right now. So happy that we're talking about darts. Even though Dubs was against it, guess what we're doing? And she's been contributing to it as well. JC, you mentioned that you were a 16-year-old darts prodigy.
Yeah, I played darts. But it was more of a pastime than a sport.
Oh, okay, so you played darts at 16. Rather than being a prodigy, you just happened to play darts.
See, you play darts. You don't compete in darts.
Well, I could have competed in darts. No, but can I ask? Let me ask a question just about when it comes to darts, et cetera. Would you call, and I'm just curious about this, would you call, like, say, F1, is that a sport?
Yes.
Okay, compared to darts, because they're both – super quick, right? You know,
is it the car or is it the dart? Does a good dart make the player, or does a good player make the dart?
Yeah.
Oh, what about the kind of case that you bring your darts to the match with? I bet they're pretty fancy. Hey,
absolutely, I bet.
Yeah, do they have like straps? Are they jaunty? Are they is it a backpack? What do they look like?
I think it's a backpack. I mean, I'm sure you got more than one set and you got your whole bunch of different flights.
Is there a kit
flights
man?
Is where it's at.
Is there a kit man? Yes. There is.
Like, because I bet you they have a coach that comes with them.
Oh, yeah.
And then probably a publicity person. You know, you have your doctor that has to make sure that your fingers are all in order and your wrist, et cetera. But, I mean, is there a kit man that brings in your dart shirts and your darts?
I think they've got a full team behind them, JC.
I would think so. Now, does that make it a sport rather than a pastime?
Perhaps, yeah, because the average guy in the street hasn't got that.
Maybe it's the amount of team members you have on the team to make it work, which is why I want to mention the auto racing thing. Mm-hmm. Because for every driver, there's what, 300, 400 team members? Like a, you know, and like, and for football too, there's, I mean, there's the guys on and girls on the pitch, but there's every, you know, all the people in the office, et cetera, all that. Like, so maybe there's a case to be made, a small case that fits darts. Darts could be a
sport. Well, you know, as you know, I love snooker and they have teams behind them. Oh my God,
this is now listen, a rollicking podcast.
Listen. I have a thing for snooker cues. I just love snooker cues. And there's a famous cue maker called John Paris in England. And he makes the most beautiful cues. And on my bucket list is one day to have a John Paris cue. They're absolutely gorgeous. So I'll watch snooker and I'll just be like just salivating over this wood in those hands. What's so funny? I don't know what you're laughing at.
Salivating over wood in your hands. Okay.
Yeah,
there's my cue, James Sherman. There's my cue.
No kidding. Yeah, I tell you what, you talk about sport and what's not sport. I've played on teams, soccer teams before, which if you guys had watched those games, you would say that's not a sport. That is not a sport. They are not athletes. That is horrible. And what you saw last night in the darts final was far more a sport than third division beer league football at Soccer City in Etobicoke. Trust me, that's not a sport.
Does physical exertion and the amount that you have to kind of put up or execute, do you think that's
mental too?
In?
Yeah, it does factor into
you say
if you're a darts player.
Sweating. You have to sweat.
Yeah. Yes. There you go.
I think a lot of those guys sweat a lot more than, say, footballers.
Well, and going back to the kit man, it would be argued that one armpit is significantly more rank than the other.
I
right?
would think so. Yeah.
That's a good point.
Would there be a thicker underarm fabric on the throwing hand compared to the non-throwing hand? Probably.
Yep.
Right. You could get chafing, could you not? If you keep, I would think there's chafing. Yeah. I mean, those are big fellas, some of them. Well, there's got to be chafing.
What about the muscle? I mean, you think maybe the one arm has got to be just jacked.
Like tennis players.
Yeah.
Like Nadal's left arm versus his right arm, right?
Yeah. And Wong's right arm compared to his left. Yeah.
Tennis
for very different reasons.
Or no.
You know, you get the yips in darts, though. It's a big problem, like golf.
Oh.
You get the yips, and guys go through that. Mm. Is anything comparative to soccer, a yip in soccer? Did you go through a stage in your career where something, some facet of the game just wasn't working for you, Craig? Was there a certain shot that for a while that you just couldn't get around?
Yeah. Sometimes it would drive you mentally nuts because I would have this mental block where I couldn't get down low to my left. A shot just inside by my down left low. I just couldn't figure it out. It was like a mental get down low there. If it was about 4 feet, 3 feet, one side, it was fine. But if it was really tight to my feet, I had a hard time getting through mental blocks sometimes, kind of like the yips, I guess.
And it just happened like overnight? Or was there one you let one in and it just got, it planted a seed in your head?
No, it usually comes about in training and you're kind of like, fuck, Jesus Christ.
How do you get over that? How did you get over that?
Just have somebody just start banging balls right down before your left foot there and just start to get your head out of that space. Yeah.
Banging balls. This is where we miss Wonger in the podcast. So JC, good. That's of all JC's impersonations, that laugh, the Wonga laugh, is my favorite, I think. So please throw in at various times throughout today's podcast.
I'd like to have it as my ringtone. It'd be great.
Or whenever Wonga texts, comes up. It's a bit like Kawhi, isn't it? Kawhi's laugh.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar.
By Leonard.
Yeah, just not as lovable. Dubs, anything similar to you? Yips wise for an outfield player?
I mean, confidence will do that to you, or like every facet of your game seems to go into the shitter, right? Where that self-belief goes. We've talked about that a lot on this pod. But a specific skill, I can think of a long ball, especially with my right foot, my dominant foot, where as a midfielder, you want to be able to execute switches of play and hit the long diagonal and just have the confidence to do that. And all of a sudden, during my career, I just didn't go out of my game, but I just couldn't get the same loft. I couldn't get the same distance on it, and nothing had really changed.
Mechanically, just, nothing?
Well, I mean, seemingly to me. And then it's a pride thing. And then, like, you know, if you're on the edge of, you know, if there's somebody who's gunning for your spot, and then I was a little bit reticent to ask for help from the staff. So I was like asking teammates, you know, like, what do you think? Like, did you notice a difference in my technique? Like, what am I doing? But then it got in my head, and then it was the kind of confidence thing. And then that started to eat away at me. But then again, it just kind of comes back. I think you have to almost leave it for a bit and not abandon it. You still have to continue to try to hone it and see what's going on. But it eventually came back.
Now, why wouldn't you lean on the coaches to help you in that situation?
Probably a pride thing, but also worried that if I alerted them to the fact, and this is kind of really insular and almost silly, because they probably realized it was happening as well. But it was the culture at the time with the national team where there wasn't a whole lot of exchange between the players. Even somebody like me was in a leadership group in terms of your play and like the specific aspects of your play and asking for help or to just having like a conversation about it. Mm-hmm. And it was, I almost felt like if I said it out loud, that it would be enough to get me off the starting 11.
Really?
Which is so dumb. It's all in your head. Now in retrospect. Oh yeah.
It's all in your head then in that case. Yeah. That's not even a comment on the coaching. That's just you. Like I'm well inside my head right now and that's too much.
Yeah. Because sometimes, and not like an admission that you do need the help or that you have a weakness. They obviously were able to evaluate me as a player and I could do that self-evaluation, but maybe that would have opened up the discourse a little bit, you know? Yeah. And instead of doing it, I just opted not to and struggled through it on my own.
Craig, when was your first goalkeeper coach? Because they weren't always there, right? When you started your career, there wasn't specific keeper coaches, right?
Yeah, no, there wasn't, no. We generally had, remember a guy called Malcolm Webster, he played lower divisions as a goalkeeper and then got into goalkeeping coaching. And he was really looking after the whole East Coast, east side of England. So he had contracts, you'd go up to Norwich for a day, you'd go to Ipswich for a day, you'd go to Cambridge, you go to Northampton. And he'd just keep doing the round because nobody would give him a full-time gig anywhere until later, really. But he was actually one of the best coaches I ever had. He was exceptional. Really, really good goalkeeper coach.
So clubs figured out though eventually, listen, we need our own guy. Do you know when that began and who was the first? Do you know who the first goalkeeper coach like signed to a club specifically?
Full time, I would think it would be the old great Phil Parks at Ipswich. It was around the early 90s, I would think.
So he was your first goalkeeper coach?
Yeah.
How was that? Because, I mean, he's a legend, right?
Oh, my God. Fantastic. And he was still – he actually did – we had a bad injury crisis with the goalkeepers at one time. And I don't know how old Phil was, but he played – I remember he played a game at Brighton. I don't know how old. He must have been close to 40 at the time. But fantastic goalkeeper. I can't even explain to you how good he was and how big he was and his hands and – it's like a big pudding. Everything was just absorbed. You would hold on everything. Just boom.
Just like absorb into his body. No rebounds. Just like
no rebounds. Yeah.
So did you take to it well? When Ipswich came to you and said, listen, we're bringing Phil aboard as our full-time goalkeeper coach, the first goalkeeper coach you ever had, was that something that you accepted happily? I'm sure some keepers wouldn't have done that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. And on top of it, he was just a really great guy. So,
and he made you a better keeper?
Pardon?
He made you a better keeper?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He shot exclusively to Craig's lower left.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're a bit weak down that side, clearly. All the analytics back in 1991 that Ipswich were crunching those numbers came up the same result. Download at Craig's left. Terrible. Who was your keeper coach at West Ham?
Ludwig McClosco, what he was kind of player coach, and Les Seeley. Les Seeley, who passed away when he was actually my coach when he passed away. He was only 43. He had a massive heart attack.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wow. Another great guy. Really, really good guy.
You've done camps before, Craig. Have you ever thought about getting into that? Because I think you'd be a really good teacher. I get that feeling. You're calm. You're composed. You know, you can be meticulous when you feel like it.
Very observant.
Yeah, observant. Yeah, and obviously have been playing at the highest level. I mean, is that something that you ever considered?
I did a little bit of it. Helped out with people. Nothing that I took on myself full time.
I mean, not that you want it, but I tell you what, if I'm a Canadian club, I'm thinking your phone should be ringing off the hook. Really, there aren't many people like Craig living in Canada available. If you're available, I'm not saying you're available, but say you decided you wanted to be available, right? Should be fucking ringing off the hook.
I haven't got time.
Well, the podcast duties do take up a lot of hours. I know that.
Well, I think when we've spoken about this before, whether it was involvement as an ex-player, as an alumni in the Canadian Soccer Association in a various role, or as a coach or in the technical kind of realm, the criticism was, well, you know, does Craig have any experience in that? But I think in order to mine the type of unique experience that Forrest has and what he has to offer kind of Canadian soccer, it's just bringing him on as an advisor to everything. And as it pertains to professional sport, I think you'd be doing your organization a great service. I think that it would elevate everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, most kids over here playing football, whatever level, they have aspirations to one day play overseas. And that jump's huge. It's not just from the footballing standpoint, right? And obviously Craig's done it, but enough to embarrass Craig here. We're embarrassing Craig, and this isn't his, his CV. Or that can be, and you can take any of these clips and put it on a demo reel. Craig, go right ahead. But yeah, I to me, it's just common sense. We've been there before. It's kind of crazy. It really is. Dubs, what about you? Any when you were playing, specific coaches for particular skills? You get them now. Obviously, you get throwing coaches now, for crying out loud, right? At the top level. When you were playing, how big was the star for Canada, for example? And how specific were those coaching roles?
Geez, our staff wasn't very big at all. You know, when compare it now and then what's happening with analytics, with sports science and performance and all that sort of stuff and strength and conditioning, it only started to get a little bit bigger towards like the tail end of my career, where we would have a couple of staff who were devoted to like the off the field training and the strength and conditioning and making sure that we weren't overtrained, which we were to a great extent towards the end of my career, too much to our detriment, as you might expect. But no, it was very kind of streamlined, I think, almost by necessity, because there wasn't a whole lot of money going around, but it just wasn't really on the radars, I think.
Right. That's interesting to see how the game's changed over the years. And it's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, do you think sometimes, though, we overthink it now a little bit? Does sports overthink itself? Is it too? Can you be overcoached? That's, I guess, what I'm asking here. Is that possible?
Yeah, I think you can. Because then you get too into the minutiae. You get too much into the details that you can't see the big picture. And you're not really addressing the players. And there was an article actually in The Athletic talking about Kevin De Bruyne in his last contract.
That's a great article, huh? I read that too.
Using analytics and data to his advantage, sitting at the negotiation table. And then it wasn't somebody who was calling the article out, but they were saying, you know, you have all this data at your disposal, but it's all in how you use it. You know, there's that great expression where it's like 73% of all the statistics you hear are made up.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something like that, something to that effect. So like you can use it, you can sort of weaponize your argument whichever way you want using all of this data. And I think it was talking about Darwin Nunez, which we spoke about last pod, and looking at XG. I think if you look at XG of a specific player, it means they're getting into the right positions. They're finding those threatening areas. And if they're not converting, as Nunez isn't, that obviously becomes a problem. He's 24, but I think he's continuing to make the right runs. He's finding the right spaces. He's getting into the right areas. And so they're saying like you, that type of data can be extrapolated in terms of a contract negotiation and in terms of, say, your goal scoring output. But like you're, say, he scored 26 at Benfica, like I mentioned last pod, it doesn't mean he's going to score 26 the next year for Liverpool. Mm-hmm. That's just not the way that goal scoring works.
We also but wait leagues too, right? You wait leagues, for sure.
But even if you move or say like a Harry Kane, right? Like he moves from Tottenham and he goes to Bayern. He's moving leagues. He's moving teams, but two dominant teams. Or you even look at a player who's moving intra-league. You're going from one team to another within the same league. Just because you scored 15 one year doesn't mean you're going to score 15 the next. But if those underlying numbers say that you're still moving the same way, you're still your goal involvements or your contributions maybe aren't as high, but you're still getting into those important areas of the pitch, then that is something that you can use. But I think there's so much there. And to go back to your original argument, it can really zoom you out too much so that you don't really know what the crux of the matter is anymore because you're too much into the weeds.
It's a great point. But I mean, in De Bruyne's case, it also works for his teammates. Like Jesus hasn't been as effective at Arsenal as he was at Man City because he didn't have Kevin De Bruyne sticking the ball in his foot, right? And it's a big part of it. I love that De Bruyne article because he hasn't got an agent. He just hired a couple of analytics firms to break down his game and to build a case for what he wants. And he hired two lawyers to do the deal for him. But I found that really interesting. Smart guy, right? Is XG the same thing in hockey as high danger chances?
I think so.
I think the same thing, right? Just different phrasing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Similar.
It is similar, right? I'm sure they hockey is different to soccer, obviously, but just, I know you always hear in hockey high danger chances. Last night, the Leafs had tons against, who was it? They're playing Anaheim, for example, but you don't hear XG in hockey. It's just interesting. The terminology kind of changes from team to team.
I find it interesting that De Bruyne did that because, quite honestly, I'd be like, I don't need any analytics.
Yeah, it's true.
You've been watching me for the last couple of years. I'm fucking pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, it'd be a fun story actually to do if I'm if I'm The Athletic, for example. I would hire an analytics firm to follow some beer league soccer player or beer league hockey player, and just kind of build a case around them. I don't know. I think that might be quite interesting just to see the level, how the level from the top pros compares to the beer league. We know to the eye, it's extreme. Like I said, it's not even the same sport. It's not a sport. But that might be interesting. Like your XG is like, you know, in beer league football, your XG is like 0.01. This is like shit.
Well, right? You've seen some of those clips on social media go around where like these guys with gigantic boilers, like completely unfit, playing like a five-a-side little field, and then they're trying to finish and they can't, and they're falling over and miss hitting the ball and just trying to squeak it over the line, and they just can't do it.
I tell you guys won't understand this. You won't understand this. JC might, but Craig and Dubs, you won't. When you as a you know non-professional athlete see yourself on video for the first time playing a sport, it's fucking sobering. It's like, oh my god, like you just I can watch an athlete, and I've seen enough sports in my life. I can tell someone who's an athlete running across the field. And then there's me and my crew, and there's not one amongst us. And it's just the way you run. The average guy, when I'm running, I can run. I'm quite fast at full speed. But when you compare me to an actual athlete, there's no comparison. They glide. Even the worst, they glide across the field, whereas I'm all clunky.
You know? Which is why bringing analytics into that would be a terrible fucking idea. It would be soul crushing. Let these people have some fun.
No. I'd say there's so many idiots out there who think they're great, right? Who should have analytics companies doing a little file on them. I think if there's a company out there who can't get into the top level sports for analytics, there's so many companies now. Yeah. Reinvent yourself into, I will provide a bargain basement analytical profile for your local beer league team. I think they do really well on that. Clubs and teams and players would pay for that just for a laugh,
and they can be the kit sponsor.
They could be a kiss sponsor. Yeah. Yeah. Shitalytics.
Oh my God.
No, anal, but anal.
That's right.
That's it.
For all your probing data.
Oh my God. This is a great idea. Analytics for all your probing data, right? $20. We'll come out and follow you for a week and present a file for you. People will pay for that shit. They will.
Oh my God. But you know what? This might bring us kind of full circle here after like half an hour. We might need to shut things down. But JC bringing up F1 and then you bringing up shitty beer leagues. When I played for the Montreal Extreme in 2005, it was a one-off, but we were a fabulous team. Like KK was our goalkeeper. We had Sherralta Nonan. We had myself, we had Izzy Morneau, like Mariev No, all of José Bélanger, like all of the best kind of Quebec players at that time of that generation, Véronique Maranda, and then other players brought in. And it was a one-off because the guy mismanaged the team in a W league, like the old kind of semi-pro league at the time, the circuit. And then when the F1 race was in Montreal, they had like the... What do you call like all that staff, like everybody who's there, who's helping to change the tires, like
pit crew.
Fuck, thank you. The pit crew of all the various teams come and they put together like an 11-a-side team. So maybe about 20 guys, and they came and they played an exhibition game against us. And we probably got a couple of thousand people in the crowd. And these fucking guys thought that they were going to roll us. And to see their egos in real time shrivel up and die, and the arc, the expressions, and to see them just so disgusted with themselves, but then disgusted with us, frustrated, and then disgusted with themselves was unbelievable. It was so fun because they really realistically thought, oh, it's a bunch of girls, like we're gonna walk all over them.
And these guys were,
and we crushed them.
Yeah,
and then the fitness levels come in, right?
Well, that's it. They could hang probably technique-wise and physically overran us at the beginning. And then we destroyed them, like probably 12 minutes in.
Yeah, I bet. Just wait. Wait, girls. They're going to slow down. They're going to blow their loads early in this one. And then they're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Hey, do you see Portland Thorns are sold? Mm-hmm. To Raj Sports, whoever they are, for $63 million.
Wow.
That's not nothing, is it? Jeez. Does Sinky have any ownership stake in Portland?
No? I don't believe so.
No? Okay.
No, but like the buy-in for the expansion teams, like Bay, Boston, that's coming in 2025. Utah's back as an expansion side this year in NWSL. Was $50 million.
It was $50 million.
Really?
Wow. So, yep.
Wow.
So, you know, valuations and.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think you look at Angel City FC. I think initially, even before they had... their couple seasons, but as an expansion side, they were initially, even before they kicked a ball, they were evaluated at $100 million. And now that's just gone through the roof.
Wow.
So, because
a lot of people getting involved in ownership, even like former athletes, even in lower leagues or, you know, something that's going to cost you $50 million as opposed to hundreds of millions. Remember Toronto, MLSE in Toronto, when they picked up TSC, it was $10 million. Yeah. $10 million. They're going for $350 million now. Just money.
That's only 16 years ago, right? 16, 17 years ago, Craig. In that time, for $10 million to that. That's growth. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what the buy-in for Project 8 is, Dubs?
It's about five. The projection 5 million. Over.
It isn't that much. Yeah.
Well, no. I mean, that's projected over, I think, 5 years.
Okay.
10 years. It'll cost you that. But like the buy-in for a franchise is 1 million.
Oh, it's 1 million, is it? Okay. And that's for 1 million, what do you get for 1 million? You get naming, right? So obviously you got a name. What do you get exactly for that? You haven't got a ground. You still got to work all that, right? There's just literally a franchise within the league.
Yes. And then within that, you have some of your money that's going to get you going for your inaugural year and all that sort of stuff. But then it's obviously more than that to kind of get going in your operating costs and all that. But I mean, if you compare the two, you know, the argument was like, well, we need an NWSL team. Well, no, we don't. We need to start developing Canadians in all realms, not just on the pitch, everything that surrounds it. So that's a much more attractive bottom line, right? That's $1 million to get into Project 8 versus 50 if you want to get into a model that's really only developing U.S. players.
But at some point, the Canadian soccer public will want to see an NWSL team, won't they? They want to see if that grows. If that's the value of those teams, there's going to be someone out there thinking, I want a piece of that.
Maybe, but why wouldn't you focus where it's not saturated?
Mm-hmm. But I mean, is it going to be a likelihood that at some point one of these Project 8 teams, is it going to be talk of expansion or merging with another league at some point?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But you create a bit of like for a Champions League situation too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That too. Yeah. So
great. Well, that's coming for women.
That'd be awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a game changer.
Yeah, but look at Liga MX and what they did for when they first started. They got out of the allocation system in NWSL, their federation did, and they really focused on developing, and they were able to piggyback on the existing league with the men, with the Liga MX, and they started the Liga MX Femenil, and I think in 2016 or 2017, and they made it just domestic. They didn't allow any internationals to come into their league, and they really focused it on, I think, U23 development. And I think you're only going to see sort of the fruits of that development a little bit later because their national team has been struggling. They haven't been doing great on the international stage. But I think that's what you want to aim for with Project 8. It's really focusing on really deepening that player pool, which for the longest time, like players have to go elsewhere to play. We've discussed ad nauseum. Or, you know, you're in that wider playing pool or player pool that Bev has. But you're limited. And a lot of players just have to stop playing. So finally, you're going to have a place to play. And then that same PWHL argument where, you know, finally these young girls can aspire to having a pro career. Same for young Canadian soccer players. You know, they won't have to stop playing after they're done university.
I was watching some PWSL, HL, sorry.
HL, yeah.
Past week, the Montreal-Ottawa game. And I mean, I don't generally enjoy international hockey. Women's hockey in particular, it's the USA, Canada, and there's not much contact because they're just huge players compared to the rest of the world. That freaking Ottawa-Montreal game was great. The physicality, I saw more hits in that than the Leaf game. It was brilliant. There was almost a fight at one point. Like it was genuinely interesting, and obviously smaller players, so there's more space in the ice. Mm-hmm. It was thoroughly absorbing. I'm complete sexist here, I'm sorry, but I was so surprised how great it was, and I'll watch again.
Who knew?
I know it'd be quality. I know technically they'd be great players, but just I like physical hockey. That's what I like. That's why the Leafs piss me off so much. But that was physical hockey. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I think that was the best of the three games I watched. Didn't watch all of those games, but I watched bits of each of them. So that first game was New York, Toronto, and then it was Ottawa, Montreal, and then last night was Boston and Minnesota. And I think that game that you're talking about was the most physical, but I think the tempo of the game, and then as the game wore on, it was real compelling kind of sport and spectacle, and that's what you want.
They're already their rivals.
Marie-Philippe Poulin, Canada's captain clutch, got booed in Ottawa, which is fucking awesome. That's what you want.
It is
again, like, it's a narrative, and it's people talking that you don't really want to give a platform to, but they're like, you know, this is the problem with women's sports, and they're directing it at women only. It has to be more inclusive. You have to get male allies, and you do, but like you don't, when you're on day one, when that puck is dropped, you're not necessarily going to have rivalries, mm-hmm. right? That has to grow. But like the fact that immediately Ottawa and Montreal, there was that vitriol, I think is great. That's what you want.
Yeah, a bit of hate.
Yeah.
Right? This is what makes this podcast successful. Just a little bit sprinkled in here and there. Looking to Europe right now, obviously transfer windows wide open. Last night, Rona, they win again. That fairy tale continues. It's just some story in Spain. So what would be the biggest story? I think I know the answer to this. But if Girona won Spain or Aston Villa won England, it'd be Girona, wouldn't it? Would be the biggest story. I'm not saying the biggest story. Globally, you probably get more press on Villa winning.
Sure.
Just because of the Premier League. But Craig, from a footballing standpoint, to see not just any team, you know, usurp those giants, but for a team like Girona,
mm-hmm.
it'd be incomparable.
It is, because it's not like, well, you know who owns them, eh? It's the City Group.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could be interesting next year.
It is. But they bought them, I think, in 2017. They've had sort of a hands-off approach, and a lot of the hierarchy at the club are still there prior to them buying it. They have difficulty, obviously, financially, because that league only allows them because of commercial value and commercial revenue, whatever. I think their only spending power is about 50 million euros. So how they're getting around a little bit of this is where the loan comes in, and this between the 13 clubs that the City Group own, whether it's in Australia, United States, South America, China, Mumbai, India, like they're all over the place, right? A few of the players are actually, they benefited from on loan situations. Even Garcia, who then signed a contract for them full time, was initially an on loan player. So that's something that you wonder whether that's fair. It's certainly been something they've talked about. Even the Premier League owners voted
against. Vote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Allowing to, you know, loan players from clubs, other clubs that they own. But still, it's still a really, really good story. Small town, is only 150,000 in the greater area. So it's a fantastic story. Small stadium, but they're doing really, really well. Tied with Real Madrid at the top. It's an incredible, incredible story. It really is.
We should just confirm, before I get eviscerated, is it Girona or Girona?
I was just going to ask you. Like, do you have to be Spanish? This is going to be my question. Do you have to be Spanish in order to refer to it as Girona?
Well, but even then, there's some hard G's.
Hmm.
Right? I don't know. And I know if I didn't bring it up, someone would call me out. You know, some dickhead.
We'll have to ask our Spanish friends at One Soccer.
We should ask Sarah.
We should do, actually. I'll ask Sarah. Yeah, she'll know, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she'll also be very facetious when she replies, stupid charms. Sarah Perraria has such disdain for me. We should get actually on at some point to talk about Spanish football. She'll love that. She'll tell us how to pronounce it. But Girona Girona, yeah, what a story, as is Aston Villa. No big moves just yet in the transfer window, right? I mean, obviously, we spoke about Tejan last time out. There's talk about Jadon Sancho returning to Dortmund on a loan move anyway, which would be interesting. Mbappe today has just said, I'm not commenting basically on where I'm moving. Haven't made my mind up if I'm leaving PSG or not. If it's not PSG where he stays, or if it's not Real Madrid this summer, where is it? Who can afford Kylian Mbappe?
I don't know. Look at one of the oil states.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? City can afford him, yeah. But the thing is, but financial fair play does come into effect though, right? I mean, City right now have got to be a little bit careful, haven't they, given all the charges and more coming as well.
Mm-hmm.
Think.
Maybe they can still afford him. I don't know. Newcastle probably could. They got a year of Champions League football, but I can't see Mbappe going there.
Do you think that he's made it more difficult for himself because of sort of his expanded role that he negotiated at PSG? Like, do you think that acts as a deterrent to other clubs?
Could well, I would think so. I mean, they can't offer him the same deal, can they? Does that deal, is that for life? The ownership stake? When he leaves PSG, presumably he keeps that stake in it, doesn't he?
Yeah, but doesn't he have a sporting role as well as part of his contract? Or does he have a say in the sporting decisions?
I think that was insinuated. I'm not sure whether it's
okay.
Fact. I can't imagine it's fact. Can you? I'm sure they ask him, guy with that much power, what do you think about this guy? What's that, Craig?
I'm sure he has influence.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, he comes with baggage, right? But he also comes with a bagload of goals. Arguably the best player in world football, so I'd still sign him. I'm still clinging on to the fact that his mum is a Liverpool fan. Just cling on to that hope.
Wasn't there that link at a certain point that was rumored?
Yeah, there was.
There was,
yeah,
right?
They're still rumored out there. Like, oh, how could they? There's a story
his
I saw.
Mum planted it.
Wasn't it? I forget. Maybe ESPN had a story on it. Maybe it's Athletic. I can't remember now. How could Liverpool afford Kylian Mbappe? Haven't read it yet because it's just teasing me.
It's too good to be true.
Sell it to Saudi Arabia for gazillion dollars and then dip into loan him.
Maybe that's what they'll do. Yeah, exactly. And then loan him back somewhere or something. Yeah.
Did you guys see the FIFA Pro shortlist for the best 11?
I didn't see this. No.
You didn't. Well, I mean, the men, I think it is not bad, but the women, again, I think it's, and these are players voting, over 6,000 players who are voting. It's almost like they're only voting for their friends.
Yeah.
Again, it's meant to be, you know, not based on your clout or your reputation. It should just be based on the previous calendar year. And the glaring omissions and like some players who are included, it's just like players from Spain or the Lionesses. Sure, you're in the list. And then let's completely ignore South America, Africa, and all of Asia. This is our short list. You know, it doesn't end. And Alex Morgan for the U.S. Sure, you get on there because, yes, Alex Morgan. She had a shite World Cup. She had an okay year with San Diego Wave. But you're not going to put Naomi Girma on there, one of the best center backs in the world?
You can't rely
on
players to vote for this.
You're not going to put Sophia Smith on there, who's arguably the best striker in the world?
When the FIFA awards come out, right, they obviously ask for journalists and captains of national teams, and they always release the names, the lists of who voted for who. And some of the lists, it's just ludicrous. Some of the captains from various national teams around the world and who they vote for. We used to do story on that back at the Score and just make fun of these guys because they're just utterly, they either didn't give a shit or voting for their friends or just clueless. It's just, completely pointless exercise.
And like you guys watch the Women's World Cup, no player from Japan.
That is crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
Almost like you have to play in the WSL or else you don't exist.
What is FIFA Pro exactly?
It's like the players' union worldwide.
Yeah, I mean, how much power? I mean, how much clout do they have though? Because each federation have their own unions too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I was wondering what is the clout? What do they negotiate on behalf of the players?
I think it's worldwide standards. So then each country has their kind of player representation and they meet and then they have kind of like the greater discussions together.
So nothing's accomplished basically with that. Yeah. Too much governance. It's just too much governance in this.
I think they're an important body. They're a really important body. But I think, you know, as it pertains to voting, I think you would hope that a player centric vote would be providing the balance that you want. You know, it's like maybe traditionally what's happened with the Ballon d'Or is like how many Instagram followers you have, it gets you the vote if you're a women's soccer player. So now you hope the players now show some modicum of not respect, but just of knowledge in terms of the global game.
How's that working out for
them? And you move beyond that. And it just seems to be the same shite.
Yeah, you can't rely on the workers. Workers know shit.
Oh boy.
Smaller governance. A few rich people should make all the decisions. That's how you operate successfully. They are, I guess, but they are actually. Yeah, we'll give you a little FIFA Pro players. Yeah, we'll give you a vote here and there, but let's be honest.
Look as though you have a say.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like this podcast, right? You know, we ask for everyone's opinion, but in the end, Wonga makes the decision. Should we do some footy picks? Buddy Bags. It's not the same without Jimmy, though, is it?
Yeah, he offers so much in a way of participation and dancing and fun.
The fuck
and
are you
showing
doing?
Up to the podcast.
Yeah.
Does he even exist?
I don't.
That is a good question. You know what? He was the most active he's ever been on the dark web and even on Twitter.
Yeah. No.
It's like, this is so great. Maybe he was just putting in like a certain amount of posts and then he's back to being a hermit.
Yeah. Gone. Blame. He did say he was going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
Hope it's okay. Okay, let me log in here. Okay.
Well, the African Cup of Nations and the Asian Cup, that's a bit disruptive to some elite play, isn't it?
It is disruptive, right? People whine and complain about it, but other countries are allowed to have football matches on their right? They are allowed to. You know, people love to complain and scream. But I mean, Africa gets quite hot in the summertime. A lot of it does. And in the case of this year with Ivory Coast hosting AFCON, they have brutal rain and flooding in June and July. In fact, people die every year, which is why they've moved it to January this year. It was scheduled originally, I think, for the summer. Now, why a country with those issues is given a tournament, that can be questioned for sure. You know who's hosting Asian Cup, right?
Qatar?
Yeah, that's why it's in the winter. It didn't learn anything from the World Cup. The most successful World Cup ever in December. So, yeah, I know. Greg, should we be angry about it, upset about it? Obviously, as fans of European football, it's a pain in the ass. My team's losing Mo Salah and Wataru Endo.
Yeah.
That's me. But, I mean, it's pretty rich for people to complain and scream. And how dare Africa have a tournament that's inconveniencing Europe?
Yeah. It's amazing how it always seems to come around and it surprises everybody. It's like, oh, we're going so well. Well, you know what? Going in, and sometimes I think it certainly hurts them somewhat because clubs have to think of this. I mean, Nottingham Forest have 6 players.
I know, it's brutal.
Missing.
I think they have the most of all the Prem players or the Prem teams, do they not?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man City. Right? Because Mahrez is no longer there, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think more than the fact that it's January. The fact that it's every 2 years is a problem, perhaps. And why is that? Now, I think one of the reasons of that is because they have to compete with the European game. And Africa want to grow and expand and become a relevant force in world football. Fair enough, right? So they feel they have to do it more than, you know, every 4-year cycle, where it can be inconvenient with World Cups and European Championships, right? They got to kind of own their own brand. So there's a case to be made for it, for sure. So before people start losing their shit, just do a little bit of reading on it, because there's valid reasons why it is in January and why it is every 2 years. But from a selfish standpoint, yeah, mm-hmm. Of course, it's frustrating.
And it's interesting with Mitoma still going to the Asian Cup, right? When he hasn't featured because he's been injured.
I didn't read that one.
Yeah, he's still going.
Really? Okay. Even though he's not playing.
Yep.
I guess he's not playing here. He's not playing there, right?
Yeah, but it's a curious one. Why would you go, right?
Yeah. Maybe he's a great off-the-pitch force and leader in that room.
You know, yeah, but stop you from going at that point if you're injured.
Onana's going late, right, as well. He's convinced.
Yeah, apparently he'll be playing 2 games in 24 hours. I guess one for United and then one in actually the African Cup of Nations.
But in fairness, Craig,
allowed him to play the last game for Man United, but I think they could have, by rights, stopped him from playing and brought him into the tournament earlier.
In fairness, though, he makes very few saves, right? So he's not that busy.
Yeah. Somebody said he's going to record in 24 hours.
Yeah, seriously, most goals conceded in 24 hours. All right. Shall we get some footy picks here?
I guess.
Do you want me to start, or you got some ideas? With FA Cup weekend in England, of course.
That's true.
So okay. I'm glad we're all prepared. I think we said last week. Didn't we say just last week? Oh yeah. Thank you,
JC. JC can go first.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've spent a little bit of time in the UK, not nearly as much as say Craig Forrest. You see, or perhaps even James Sharman or Andrew, sorry. But I thought this just seemed like a place that I've spent a lot of time and I really like. And I want to see them one day back in the Prem, but that would be Watford. And in the FA Cup, they're taking on Couch. And I think Watford's going to take Couch down to the curb. It's going to be...
And now I get it. That's funny. Chesterfield.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Chesterfield playing?
What are you talking about?
Sorry, that was a long overdue bit. But anyway, all right, yeah, I'm going to take Watford over Chesterfield, which pays minus 189.
Yeah, that's a good one. And Jamel Carney, of course, we mentioned him last time out, turning heads. So I was listening to a podcast this past weekend. They had an EFL expert on, and he brought up Kone's name, saying this kid is one of the most interesting players in the Football League right now to him. He's really turning heads right now. He's really finding his place at Watford. So that bodes extremely well for Canada. So Watford over Chesterfield. Okay. Craig, do you have a game?
Yeah, Fulham over Rotherham. FA Cuff.
Okay, is that what they say? Oh, here we go. Fulham, okay, so minus 501. I like that, Craig. You know, the magic of the cup. You can never dismiss it, though. You never know what might happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. All right, Dubs.
Well, I'm going to go based because my betting is so successful, right? I'm going to go purely on names and names that I like in these fixtures. I'm going to take Maidstone United over Stevenage. Because you know what? Guys named Steven who play football, I think they're overrated as a general rule. So I'm going Maidstone United over Stevenage.
Stephen Caldwell? You hate Stevie Caldwell? That's not very nice.
I love Stephen Gerrard as well, but, you know, as a general rule.
You know Stephen Fletcher? You remember Stephen Fletcher, the striker? Played Craig Prem, scored lots of goals. Do you know where he plays now?
I don't.
Wrexham. So does James McLean. They've thrown the money at League One, and they brought in some old campaigners, guys past their prime, but still. Sorry, Craig, what's that? You're
League Two?
League Two, yeah. Yeah, League Two. Sorry, did I say League One?
Yeah,
League Two. So, yeah, they're throwing money there. It's some of these names, I had no idea, because I'm waiting until the next series come out. I'm working the Wrexham to figure out how they're doing and who they've signed. But some name players there for sure. All right, so yeah, there are some good Stevens, so it's very unfounded. But Maidstone, by the way, is one of my local teams in England. I live very close to Maidstone. I used to go to the Leisure Centre there. All right, I'm going to go with Craig Forrest's former team here, Ipswich, who are in a bit of a bad run right now. I think they're winless in five, or they lost five straight or something?
They're drawing a few games.
Okay, winless in five. But they're on the road at Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon, and they're huge favourites, obviously, in that one. And I can see them starting a pretty strong team because they've got to get back in the winning ways, right? So I'm going to take Ipswich in that.
Yes.
Okay, so that gets us, where are we here? Pretty good odds, plus 5,628, so $5 can win us $286.
What? Oh, my God.
Watford beating Chesterfield, right? Fulham beating Rotherham. Maidstone beating Stevenage and I pressed. Shit.
I was going to say because I put it in too.
You know
what?
What
did you do?
I actually put Wimbledon to beat Ipswich. That's right. That would have been a mistake. Where are we here?
Those odds
Ipswich,
are.
There we go. Ipswich. There we go. Okay, those odds are more like it. Plus 1,673. So $5 still wins us $88, right, JC?
That's pretty good.
$88.70.
Now, we're doing this a day early, obviously, because of this crazy week this week. So our supporters club, still give me your parlay for the week, and I will still stick it in there. Okay, so we rely on you. Although without – you're disgusting, Dubs.
You're disgusting. Juvenile.
Just so juvenile. I thought with Wonga not being here, you know, we would kind of elevate the tone of the show, but I guess not.
No. Nope.
Anyway, so give us your I'll stick it in for your supporters group. Supporters club. And we'll see, because I mean, we're still relying on you. Although without Jimmy and without Wonga, we've got a better chance, I think, of coming through this week. We're right now, we're $20 up on where we started 6 or 7 months ago now. So we're in plus money, which is good. That was courtesy of TonyBet.ca, by the way. So thank you, TonyBet.ca. You get your bets in this weekend. FA Cup, you know, there's some great value to be had there given the potential upsets. Arsenal-Liverpool on Sunday, by the way. That's the late one. That's a bit tasty, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Excited about that one.
It is.
All right. That's about it, I think. We've got to thank, of course, Fubo TV. Subscribe FuboTV.com/footyprime for all your football needs. Anything else you want to touch on before we go here, guys and girls?
If anybody sees Jimmy out there, let us know if he's actually yep. good.
I bet he thinks it's past nine now, so he didn't think it was nine.
He was pop in at nine. Hey, guys, how you?
Yeah, I thought it was nine. No. So no Jimmy, but maybe he'll return to some Monday morning, I guess, right? So we're skipping tomorrow, and we're back on Monday morning to regale the weekend that was in all things football. Sound good, everyone? JC, get better, mate. Oh, I saw you leaving your mic there, and you're limping around. You got crutches?
I do have crutches, and I have a cane. But can I show you something before we go? And I know that it's not a visual podcast at the moment, but I bought a thing because I have this injury, and it kind of saves the day. I just got to get it off.
Oh.
It's my...
What's happening here? Is it a boot? Oh, look at that.
Yeah. It's my cool boot.
That's cool. Like, literally. Oh. So you stick it in the freezer, do you?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And then you wear it as a boot.
Great.
Yeah. It's Wonder. Super awesome. But yeah, Wonger's got one too, I think. But he has two of them. But the thing about it is that because it's closed in, the toe gets the coldest. So you have to put on double socks at the end on your toes. Otherwise, you get like frostbite.
Yeah.
The ice baths. I would do that.
Give it up to Comf Pack. And maybe, sponsorship. Comf Pack,
we'll all wear them.
Yeah, we should all wear them for every show.
I just stick in like a bottle of white or like champagne in there. Nice bottle of Cava.
Not a bag of peas? And no. Peas are still the best way of doing it.
They are.
Yeah, cause they mold to all the obviously,
Do you stick them back in the freezer and then are they exclusively like you're icing your ankle or body part?
They should, vegetable? They should be.
I think
they
so.
Be.
Yeah,
they yeah I would recommend flagged. That.
Flag them.
We will see. So, we get big bags of frozen peas for my pie business. So I'll take one of them and I won't put it back in the freezer. I'll bring it home. And it's a big bag, right? It's like a five pounder. So that thing will de-inflame. De-inflame? Anything.
I don't think that's a word.
I don't think it is.
No.
Anti-inflame? Anti-inflammatory is the process you're looking for. But what would that be called to what's that
eliminate
called?
Inflammation?
Eliminate?
I don't think you can make a word, though, with
I think we
that.
Just have, though.
I don't think we have.
No. De-inflame.
De-inflame. No. Yeah.
You pee on the flames.
Yeah.
No, D, JC. De-inflame.
Oh, but you pee on it.
Well, you do that as well. End of the night, for sure you do.
Or it's Diana Matheson when she's having a really good game. De-inflame. No?
De-inflame.
Yes. De-inflame?
But does no one get the pee reference? Because they're peas?
Oh,
sorry. Shit.
We've moved shit. So far away from the
news. I'm sorry. So you're right.
But Diana Matheson would be upset with
how they think it was funny.
keep icing that bad boy, all right?
Yeah.
And get over the COVID too in that household of yours, okay?
Yeah, not great.
And all right, I just want to mention before we go, that Ashley Lawrence did make that short list. So is one positive.
Okay.
And that. Yeah, Ashley Lawrence. All the rest of the voting, subpar.
Crap. Yeah.
Yeah.
Should mention, by the JC, by the way, joined us today. He was supposed to be in New York City as of later today. And so has some sympathy for poor JC.
Oh, we rebooked.
Oh, you have? You know, my worst trip ever was in New York City.
Is that right?
It was due to a couple of things. So first of all, I got hit with the most awful flu. On the way over, and both my eyes, the flus always hit my eyes, and my eyes pretty much went shut. I was awful. Then, and my wife, Tony, got the same flu within a day. Right. So we stayed the entire weekend in the hotel room, I was just dead to the world, right? Which could be great, but it wasn't. Yeah. and then on the way out, so we're taking the subway back to the train up to the airport, and I'm sitting in the subway wearing shades because I had to wear shades because I couldn't deal with any kind of light. And some guy comes and starts berating me because he thinks I'm too cool to be wearing shades. And I just dropped the shade, said, leave me the fuck alone. And he saw my eyes and then just walked away. And then 15 feet away, there was a homeless guy masturbating.
So there was one bright spot, at least.
There was one bright spot, yeah. Exactly.
Good thing the eyes got better enough to see it.
Got bad memories in New York.
Yeah. Anyway, how was the view from the window or from the hotel room, James?
I couldn't see because my eyes were so fucked up. All right, Spotty Prime, everyone, thank you for joining us. We're back on Monday morning in all likelihood, right? Enjoy the games, everyone. TonyBet.ca, thank you. Fubo TV, thank you. Keep buying newspapers, papers, and pictures. And cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by TonyBet. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. Pee on it.
I think it's played.
All right, so that's a good show. We don't need those other wonders.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.